All right, everybody, we are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. I am Perry White. We're at the top of the hour, and I'm hoping everybody rocking and rolling and sticking with us this morning, because guess what? We're talking SWAC basketball. SWAC basketball media day just passed, and nobody better to talk about when we talk about SWAC basketball right here on the bluff at Southern University than Southern head men basketball coach, my man, Coach KJ, Coach Kevin Johnson. Good morning, Coach Johnson.
Good morning, Terry. Once again, good to spend some time with you.
Hey, man, look, and you are a busy guy, and I'm glad I get a chance to catch up with you. Let's talk about SWAC Basketball Media Day, an opportunity for you to showcase the team getting ready for the new season, man. And I want to start first when we're talking about getting ready for the new season. The guys that we have lost from last year's team, as we talk about this revolving door of college athletics with the transfer portal and everything else, what did we lose from last year's team coming into this season?
You know, actually, we had six guys enter the portal. And of those six guys, three of them, we lost. We lost Tajon Demasi to Western Carolina. We lost Deontay Thomas to Jackson State. Lost Brente Noel to UL Monroe. And another guy we lost that I was probably not going to renew was Jordan Johnson, who was at Bethune. So I guess four guys went in the portal that did not return.
You know, we talk about this ever-changing revolving door in basketball, and then you lose guys who have been a part of your program. Now you got to replace them. And let's look at this year's team coming into this year. You had one guy placed on the All-SWAC first team list, and that is Michael Jacobs. Talk about him and the host of new guys that should be joining this team along with guys returning.
Sure. You know, Mike's one of those guys who never went in the portal, so it's good to have him back, being a first-team All-League performer from last year. But there's some other guys I think I would consider key returners. Damari Jones had a really good year for us last year at the forward spot, has returned. And we had two guards, and Joseph Manning and Cam Ambry, who both had spells last year where they looked like they were potentially All-League guards. And both of them shoot the three. And so to return those four guys as a core, and then to have P.J. DeBole, a long wing who comes off the bench back, you know, I kind of felt good about adding some pieces to that to keep this thing at a high level. So, we went at it hard with recruiting. And we got some guys out of the portal. Malik Abogawad, 6'10 center from UMass. He actually started for UMass last year. And then Terrence Dixon is a 6'8 power forward center that came from Lamar, who was having a great preseason, by the way. Those were two bigs that we, losing DT and losing Brente, we needed to have two guys who were ready to come in and play. And and we tried to bolster up our backcourt some. We added a junior college guard in Fazil Ashodi, who shot 38% and can score the ball, came from Southwest Mississippi. And Rondé Hill, who was a freshman of the year in the Division II league in Arkansas, Shreveport native, that can score the ball. So we feel like we added some that are going to allow us to maintain a level.
You know what I find so interesting, even with losing players to the transfer portal and bringing in these new pieces to the team, the amount of respect for you as the head coach, as we look at the 2025-26 men's basketball predicted order of finishing the SWAC, and they have you right there in the second place, right behind Reggie Theus and Bethune-Cookman. And looking at your program coming into this year, man, even with the replacement, your team's still right there in the thick of things, right there at the top of the SWAC.
You know, it's just what you said, Barry. That's what it is. It looks like the coaches, respect what we've done. But I couldn't tell you right now we're a top two team. But what I will tell you is that, the guys are really working really hard. and potentially, you know, we have replaced those bodies that we've lost. And so right now it's all about the work, and I like what we're doing.
And for everybody out there, the top five, I'll go top five, predicted order of finish. The rest you can look for yourself. But top five coming in right now at number five, Texas Southern, who we know has been a perennial power right here in the SWAC, right above Texas Southern. Alabama State, the Hornets, who we saw last year have a run. And then Jackson State, they're Southern in the second place. And then Bethune-Cookman at the top place. Bethune-Cookman and Reggie Theus has really been giving us trouble since they've joined the SWAC, man. What is it about Reggie Theus and what he's building over there at Bethune-Cookman, man, that seems to be tough, especially when you got to go to Daytona Beach to play?
Yeah, I'm not sure about what he's building, but what he has been able to do is he has put, you know, some talented teams on the floor. And this year's team won't be any different. He added some pieces. A couple of players that was on his team a couple of years ago have returned. I think he's got the best post player in the league, and Daniel Ruzan. And then, you know, he got Dr. Bradley, who averaged 20-10 at Pine Bluff last year. So they're talented. His team last year was talented. And you know, my first year in the league, he put a talented team on the floor. But if you can correct me if I'm wrong, Perry, he hasn't won a league championship and he hasn't won the tournament, right?
He has not.
So, I'm not sure what he's building.
Hey, I'm picking up what you're putting down, Coach. Listen. Yeah. Let me ask you in terms of...
I want you to pick it up because that's how I feel.
And I want to talk about, you know, looking at the conference and the amount of, you know, you're looking at the teams, it seems like the competitive level in the conference has gone up where it's not one, two, three teams, man. Hey, at any given time, what we've seen, especially I've heard the commissioner say it in the past, trying to raise the RPI of the conference so it helps us in postseason. But just your look at the competitive nature of the SWAC coming into this year.
You know, I think this is going to be a tremendous year. I think this league continues to add quality coaches. The guys who are on the sideline in this league, they know what they're doing, right? And so there was a change at Alcorn. There was a change at FAMU, you know, and you know, and I don't know if you mentioned this earlier, you know, Dante Jackson going over to Alabama A&M. I mean, they're going to be in the thick of things. I mean, I'm telling you right now, they're going to have a top three or four team. So the quality of the coaching, but also the players, the talent in this league, this is not a low major league. And so if you're a basketball fan, you got to take heed to that and give us some attention, right?
That's right. And for you, you know, surviving the transfer portal, you know, we talk about it in football a lot, but for you, basketball, man, because the roster is so much smaller, surviving the transfer portal and what it's like adapting as a coach in this new world of kids being able to, or young guys and women having that option to be able to move around at the rate that they do.
Well, you know, when you say that, a couple of things come to mind. One is you constantly have to, you know, be in the game of recruiting your own players. And then you know, you're going to have to also look at some other rosters. I can remember last year we were in Houston getting ready to play Texas Southern Prairie View. We ended up practicing at Rice. And so Rob Lanier, the head coach at Rice, he came over. He said, "Coach, you're welcome to use our facilities." He said, "But I want you to know something. I've seen every game you've played." And I was like, "What?" He said, "Yeah, I watched every game you played." And then it dawned on me, you know, schools from the higher leagues, they're gonna watch the SWAC. They're going to watch some of these other leagues because there might be a player that we have that they can poach, right? And so that's what this is done. That's what it's turned recruiting into. Not only do you have to watch your own roster, you have to constantly be communicating with your own players, but you're going to be watching the rosters of you know, of other teams. And that's a new landscape, Barry.
And, you know, you're talking about constantly recruiting the guys on your own team and watching out. Talk about the guys that are going to be helping you in terms of coaches on this year's staff that are going to be recruiting the guys for the future and re-recruiting the players already on the team and helping you guys be successful this year.
And so that's one of the things that we're currently adjusting to. So we got almost an entirely new staff. We did retain Jethro Hillman, who's, you know, I love having him around. Not only is he a veteran in the SWAC, he's a veteran at Southern University, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we got three other guys who are new. Philip Shumpert spent the last few years at University of Louisiana Lafayette, but he's certainly no stranger to the South and the SWAC. He was assistant on one of Jackson State's championship teams. And so I'm really thrilled to have Philip here helping us this year. And I got two young guys, and Shambari Phillips, an Atlanta native who's already made some impact recruiting Atlanta, added to the staff. And then the last guy would be Brennan Dumas, who is a Louisiana native from Opelousas. Just recently finished a master's from the University of Texas, and he is on our staff. So I like our new staff, but, you know, part of building a team, Perry, is we got to get our staff working as a team also. So we got a lot of work ahead.
What'd you learn from last year, Coach? I got about 3 minutes before we go to break. You know, the run that you were on, and then kind of at the end of the season, things kind of just unraveled a little bit. But what did you learn from that as, you know, just part of this process of being able to evaluate yourself in the program?
Yeah, I don't certainly look at it like things unravel. You know, I think to go through this league and to finish with a 15-3 record, man, that is that's a tremendous accomplishment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we go into the tournament and are faced with our opponent that we've already beat twice. We have to beat them a third time to move on. They've already played a game in the tournament. We haven't, you know, and so you go into that situation and you don't play your best, and you lose that game in overtime. But man, I've been doing this a long time. There are steps to the building process, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's certain things you gotta go through to get to the next step, and that's what I feel about the end of last year. But a tremendous season. If you came to me right now and said, "Hey, Coach, you could have 15-3 right now and not play the games," I'd take it, because it's just very difficult to do, right? It's a level of dominance,
yep.
Right? So so really proud of the guys for being able to accomplish that. But this is a new year.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you for all that you do with the program, and we know it's hard work, and you're willing to put in the work, man, and I appreciate you for taking the time this morning to come on and speak with us and give us a heads up with the program. And trust me, as we inch closer, because basketball season is upon us. I mean, we're literally knocking at the door, and the fact that you just had media day, you had one guy named to the All-SWAC team, you picked second. We're going to be right here like we were last year, every step of the way, keeping up with you through your non-conference. And then as you get into conference, and then just keeping up with the team and letting people know what can they do to be a part of, to be able to see it through, to help you be financially straight with the program. Because we know at the end of the day, it takes some money to move some stuff these days. But we just want to make sure that the people out there are able to give you all the support that you need right here at Southern University to be successful, Coach.
Right. Well, you know, I appreciate you saying that, because that's what we need. And then at the end of the day, you know, we've led the league in attendance the last couple of years. And look, we don't win some of these close games without the fans. And we know we got the best fans. So let's keep that FG Clark Activity Center. Let's keep it hot, Perry. Let's keep it hot.
Let's keep it hot. Everybody out there, if you hear the voice, it is the voice of the head basketball coach, men's basketball coach at Southern University, my man, Coach Kevin Johnson, as they know call him, Coach KJ. Thank you, Coach. I appreciate you this morning.
Thanks for having me, Perry. We'll do it again soon.
Yes, sir. All right, everybody, let's get ready to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we'll talk some SWAC women's basketball, particularly right here at Southern. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody, we are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everyone. Glad to have you guys with us. We're talking SWAC basketball today because SWAC basketball media day has just passed us. And now because we're here at Southern University, we're going to talk about our team, and especially the SWAC champions from last year, right? Nobody better to talk about on the women's side than the SWAC champion head basketball coach himself at Southern University, my man, Coach Carlos Funches. Good morning, Coach Funches.
Good morning, Perry. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, man. Now I got you on the phone, man. Hey, I'm talking to a champion.
Well, it's almost time for us to kick it off again.
It's almost time to kick it off. Yes, sir.
I mean, this summer just zoomed by, so it's ready. We're ready to get started. Hopefully, have another successful season.
Let's talk about the success coming from last year. You guys over in Atlanta win the SWAC championship on the women's side. Man, I was there with a joyous occasion to watch the Jaguars get a championship. And then women's basketball, we know this ever-revolving door in the transfer portal. And let's talk about coming from last year into this year, Coach. What players have we lost from last year's team, whether it's transfer portal or whether it's graduation coming into this season?
Well, we lost a lot of experience, you know, Aaliyah Fontenot, Sanaya Reed, Tiana Lidge, she entered the transfer portal, but we lost a lot of experience. But I thought we replaced them with some really good players, and we have a solid nucleus of young ladies coming back. You know, we played 11 or 12 players every game last year, so that gave the other kids a lot of chance to get some experience.
You know, we talk about losing those players, but then, you know, re-recruiting. Always not only recruiting your own players, re-recruiting them, but going out and finding players to be a part of this program. And you have found a way to do this year in and year out. Who are some names of some new players that are going to be a part of this program, as well as for Jaguar fans out there, some reoccurring names from last year's team that ought to be familiar to them?
Well, the new kids we have coming in, we have Michaela Cunningham. She'll be playing that point guard position. I think the fans are really going to love her. I mean, she's a big guard. She's explosive. She can score. She can pass. She can guard. She can do it all. We lost Aaliyah Fontenot and Sanaya Reed. Both of those young ladies could really stretch teams out and make them guard that three-point line. But we brought in Jaleah Reed, a transfer from Mississippi Valley. She can shoot it from 25 feet. Damani Lagway, another young lady from out in California. She came to watch us play against UCLA, liked our style of basketball, and said that she wanted to come here. So we picked her up, Dixon, from Itawamba Community College. Got her in. She can do it all. She can guard. She can shoot the mid-range jump shot. I mean, she's a terrific player, and she's a winner. Zaria Hurston, she's another young lady. She played her first year at DePaul, went to Coastal Carolina last year and transferred in here. But she's an explosive player at that four position. We have Olivia Delancey. That name might be familiar to you. She's transferred in from FAMU. I mean, she can shoot the three balls. She can get to the mid-range, and she can post up some. We needed some more size with the loss of Tiana Lidge. So we picked up a Naja Hall. She's 6'5", transferred from Alabama State. She's a rim protector, and she can also score on that low block. So we replaced the players that we've lost with some really, really good pieces. And, you know, I think we have a chance to make another run at this thing.
You're talking about making another run, and that's exactly what the 2025-2026 women's basketball predicted order of finishing. The SWAC have you guys at the top spot, number one in terms of returning as the SWAC champs. But let's look at the top five coming in at number five, and the rest you guys can go look at. But Grambling State right there at the number five spot, Texas Southern right there behind them at the number four spot. Now we get in the top three, Jackson State, Alabama A&M, and then you guys. Looking at the competition level in women's basketball across the SWAC from last year coming into this year, I know the whole idea is the RPI, getting those non-conference victories and boosting the overall imprint of this conference to the national stage. And for you, have you seen the competition level increase in the SWAC?
Oh, yeah. Each and every year, the coaches have gotten better. The players with the transfer portal. They have gotten better. So it's going to be a dogfight each and every night. I mean, the number 12 ranked team can beat the number one ranked team. So, you know, every night you got to prepare and you got to be ready to go, and you can't have any slip up.
No young ladies on the All SWAC first or second team, but of course you say with the turnaround of this program, and you talked about re-recruiting and recruiting new players. What's different? Any changes on your staff this year of the coaches that's going to be helping you along the way to repeat as that SWAC champion?
No, we're going to have the same staff. I think we have one of the best staffs in the country. I really do. Jeremy Bowden, he does a terrific job as our defensive coordinator. Coach Patrice Carter, she does an awesome job. And we have Coach T.J. Pugh also, and he does a little bit of both offense and defense. But we have a really solid staff, and, you know, we're familiar with each other. So we kind of feed off each other at times.
You know, as I look at this program and last year, you guys, and I cannot quit reiterating, you won the SWAC championship last year, and you found a way to get it done. What is it about going through that non-conference? Because I saw some coaches last year who complained about tough non-conference, but you typically play one of the toughest non-conference schedules in the conference. What is it about those games that prepare you and these young ladies for conference play to have the success that you guys do?
Well, you know, we play teams that play a lot of different styles of basketball. Some of them play zone, some of them press and push up, play man-to-man, and everybody has size, you know, when we play against some of these Power Four schools. So, you know, they just bring a different dynamic. By the time you hit conference, you should be ready to go and battle test it. So we go out and just try to improve each and every night, regardless of who the opponent is, and just trying to get better. You know, we look for the small victories. You may not win the game, but you look for things like execution on both ends of the court and boxing out and just doing the little things. Just making winning plays, that's what I call them.
And then as we transition, once you get from regular season to conference tournament, you found yourself in a situation no other team was able to do in the SWAC. You were in the NCAA tournament. Talk about that tournament experience and going against teams. And when you talk about the field of the best in the country, for you guys, what preparation was like? Because you won that first four game in and then went on to take on number one seed UCLA. Just that entire experience for you as a coach, but nonetheless preparing for that and what that does for you, your staff, and your team.
Well, you just want to go out and be ready each and every night. We prepare for UCLA just like we would against Mississippi Valley or Alcorn or any team in the conference. You know, our preparation never changes. We go out, we get ready, we watch film, we do our stretching, we get our game plan. So when it comes to, you know, playing these bigger teams or playing within the conference or outside the conference, we never change. You know, we prepare for each and every game to win. You know, regardless of what happens, our preparation and the time that we put into our preparation is going to always be there.
When you get that opportunity to showcase your brand and the talent on the national stage the way that you guys did, just like you said, you got a young lady joining the team who saw you guys take on UCLA. But overall, what does that do for the footprint of Southern University recruiting when you were able to do it at the highest level at the rate that you guys have done when it comes to recruiting?
Well, you know, when you go out and you play on national television, that just really puts your brand out there and increases the notoriety, not just for women's basketball, but for Southern University. You know, that the fans are always great wherever we go. I mean, wherever we travel, anywhere in the country, that's going to be a Southern alumni base there. So, you know, we just continue to try to do the right things and graduate our kids. We have 100% graduation rate over the last 7 years. So we look to continue that streak as well. You know, they're getting the job done both on and off the court, and we want to be a product that Southern University is going to be proud of.
You know, as you evaluate the players, you say, hey, this player fits our style. Hey, this player could be significant to our program. When you look at yourself and evaluate yourself from last year coming into this year, and you peel back the layer, you look in the mirror, what did you see as you evaluated yourself and learned from last year coming into this year?
Well, we just want to keep evolving with the game, number one, both from a recruiting aspect and I brought a gentleman in this year to help us install a motion offense. So we're going to do some different things this year. I thought we needed to get more movement on the offensive side. Depending on what lineup we had in, we might not have people that could just take you off the dribble and things like that. So we wanted to put something in that, you know, we could put a bigger lineup in and play two bigs at one time, things like that. But just evolving with the game and not just staying with the same old stuff and trying to get better from a coaching aspect as well as, you know, getting our players in here and being able to do some different things. So I thought we did that this summer. We're on the right track. We've been working since June the 3rd, preparing to try to win another championship. And the work ethic that these young ladies have is off the charts. And we're going to try to make another run at this.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you for coming on this morning and being able to have an opportunity to talk to me. It's not every day I get to talk to a champion, but you are a champion at Southern University. You guys won the SWAC basketball title last year on the women's side, man, and congratulations once again to you and your staff for the tremendous work that you guys do. And I know it can be tough when we talk about schools sometime with the low resources, and we had this conversation last year talking about this ever-changing world, not just the transfer portal, but then we had discussed that NIL, and I know that still is a thing out there, man. What is that like real quick, about 3 minutes, that NIL world out there for you?
It's tough. You know, we don't have the money. We don't have the money and the resources to offer kids $40,000 or $45,000 to come to school here. We just tell them that they're going to have an opportunity to get a great education, win some basketball games, and have some great memories.
Yeah.
You know, Southern is home. They're going to treat you like family here, and that's something money can't buy. So, you know, that's our selling point. And our young ladies do a great job of recruiting when we bring recruits in here. I mean, they tell them exactly how it is, and we take care of our young ladies. And as a coaching staff, we're going to give them 100% each and every day, and they know that. And in turn, they tell the recruits the same thing. So, you know, that's something I'm proud of. We treat each and every person like family. So we're going to continue that tradition and continue to have players in here that fit our culture.
Well, you're talking about that culture, and there's a lot of respect on that culture because even with the turnaround, they picked you to repeat as SWAC champions, and much respect to you, Coach, and good luck. And this won't be the last time. We're knocking on the door of basketball season, and we're going to get you back as we start to talk about the non-conference schedule and just the team itself. So, Coach, man, I want to say thank you for coming on this morning, babe, to not only talk to myself but the Jaguar Nation out there and get them some insight of what's to come in this repeating as the SWAC basketball champions.
It's always a pleasure, Perry. Anytime. Just give me a ring.
Yes, sir. This is the voice of Coach Carlos Funches, head women's basketball coach over at Southern University. All right, everybody, let's get ready to take a break. We come back on the other side. We're going to talk about this Southern and Bethune-Cookman game and look around the SWAC. You guys stay tuned. We'll be back more to Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody, we're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Glad to have you guys with us. I am Perry White. Good morning to everybody out there. As we keep things rocking and rolling, it is time to talk some football now as we get into this part of the show. And we're talking Southern versus Bethune-Cookman. Then we'll look around the SWAC. But nobody better than to talk some FCS football with me than my man Zach McKinnell, a.k.a. Blue. Good morning, Blue.
Good morning, Perry. Man, glad to be back on the show, man.
Man, always a pleasure to have you on. And let's jump right into it. Man, let's talk about Southern versus Bethune-Cookman. Southern had a bye week last week, chance to lick their wounds after a tough loss at home to Jackson State, but Bethune-Cookman kept things rolling. They were on the road taking on Alabama State up in Montgomery, Alabama, and it was Alabama State's homecoming. Alabama State had this thing in hand early, but Bethune-Cookman did not give up in this ball game as they battled back. And we're talking about looking at today's game, Blue. Bethune-Cookman right now, fourth in scoring in the conference, averaging 27 points a game. And in total offense, they're third in the conference, averaging 427 yards of offense. Not only that, they can run the ball very well, too. Fourth in the conference at rushing the ball at 178 yards rushing a game. But then when you look at passing, Bethune-Cookman is right there in the top of things. They're the number two passing team in this conference, averaging 248 passing yards a game. Let's take a look at this offense because they're more offense than they are defense, but it's the offense that makes me nervous in this ball game. And let's start with the offensive line looking at Bethune-Cookman because they're going to have to go up against this Southern D-line, man. What do you see from this O-line from Bethune-Cookman?
Yeah, man, I think the O-line's been really, really good in terms of especially run blocking. Look at how explosive they've been on the ground, Perry. I mean, and they really have a whole room of running backs. And even like a guy like Marquise Johnson, who was the transfer from Montana State, is, I think, fourth on the team in rushing. And he was an all-conference guy at Montana State as a kick and punt returner, super explosive playmaker. You have Robinson, who leads the room. But their top three rushers, including Cameron Ransom, all average over 5.3 yards per carry. The question here is how do they hold up in pass blocking? You look at they've allowed at least one sack in every single game but one. The only game they didn't allow a sack in was against Alabama A&M, who does not have the defensive front that they're going to see with Stubborn. Looking at their schedule, outside of, like, take away the Miami game, obviously, I think this is probably one of the better edge rushers that they've seen all year with Kelby Givens. And I think it's going to be super important for Kelby to generate pressure, but also, too, how the Southern defense contain Bethune-Cookman at quarterback, because we know that if you force the quarterback outside the pocket, Perry, he can make some plays with his legs. So I think the offensive line and run blocking has been great. Pass blocking been a little bit more inconsistent, but overall they've still been one of the better units in the flat.
And looking at Bethune-Cookman's offense, anybody who watched their games in the past, I went back and watched the past two games. The first play of their offensive possession has turned into a touchdown, Blue.
Yeah, I'm telling you, they have so many athletes at so many different positions, Terry, and they can make those one-play touchdowns happen any given play. You look at their wide receiving core with Malik Huggins and Javon Ross. Both of those guys are one-play touchdown guys. Lorenzo Jenkins is another guy you probably should watch out for. Their wide receiving core is unbelievable. Four guys over 100 yards this year. Two over 400. We already talked about their running back room, but I think the really key here, Perry, is Cameron Ransom. And if he's locked in, Perry, they are so good. The problem is he's not always locked in, Perry. And that's where I get a little bit concerned at times with Cameron Ransom. We saw him have a big game against South Carolina State, right? Mm-hmm. But then we've also seen him struggle at times. And we had to see Timmy McClain come in and save the day against Alabama State. And so I'm very curious to see which version of these Bethune-Cookman quarterbacks we get this weekend against Southern.
Yeah, but again, I look at Ransom last week, and he ended up getting injured in that game against Alabama State. Can he come back, and how healthy will he be for today's game? But nonetheless, Bethune-Cookman has put up a lot of points. If people go back and watch that game against South Carolina State, South Carolina State had the game in hand, but Bethune-Cookman didn't go anywhere. The same thing it was with Alabama State. They didn't go anywhere. And, of course, they put up a lot of points against Elkwood Waters. In their last three games, they have scored 30-plus points. They've been right there knocking at the door 20 to 30 points a game, which makes me nervous. And now I turn it over to the other side of the ball for Southern offensively. Currently, out of 12 quarterbacks, the top 12 passers in the conference, Southern has nobody in the top 12. Looking at the top running backs in the conference, you got Trey Holly, who's right there at fifth in rushing in the conference with 414 yards on the season. But then the receiving side, which is a direct reflection of the quarterback. Out of 25 of the top wide receivers in terms of reception in this conference, Southern has only one player in that top 25, and that's Darren Morris at number 23 with just a little over 100 yards, man. Looking at Southern's offense, it has been a struggle to get that 13-14 mark. Anything over that, you're asking a lot, but just looking at Southern right now and the struggles offensively with the revolving door at quarterback in terms of you look at Jalen Woods, who Coach Graves said has been practicing coming back from an injury that he suffered from Mississippi at the Mississippi Valley game. You got Ashton Strother, who a lot of people liked when they saw him against Fresno, but could not seem to find consistency to the passing game against Jackson State. And then, of course, Cameron McCoy, who we all know, he can do it with his legs, but he has straight suffered with his arms, and it's really been the big play of Trey Holly with this offense that has at least gotten him the two touchdowns or one touchdowns in the games that they've had thus far this year, Blue.
The good thing here with this matchup, Perry, and we know college football is all about matchups, I do think Bethune-Cookman's rushing defense can be had. And that's the one thing, if you're Southern, you probably feel confident about. If there was a game, Perry, you were going to give Trey Holly 30 carries and just say, go win us the game, it's this one. Because I think Bethune-Cookman is a defense you could see giving up 300 yards in the ground. Heck, I mean, what, they gave up 388 last week against Alabama State?
Yeah, currently rush defense, their 10th in the conference, averaging 205 yards on the ground by opposing offenses.
Yeah, and that's even skewed when they held Edward Waters to 74 yards. They've given up 125 or more yards in every single other game. They've given up five or more touchdowns in three of those games. Trey, I think that's the strategy for Southern. Get Trey Holly going, but find a way to – I would also say find a way to get some depth in that running back room. This is a chance to really see who do you have behind Trey Holly. I know we've seen Mike Franklin at times, but – this is the Southern team, period. That I think we've seen them recruit well at running back, man. We need someone other than Trey Holly, but Trey Holly should be the feature here. And I also, too, I just think they're going to be able to establish the run, period. You shorten the game up. You keep this Bethune-Cookman offense on the sideline. That should be the strategy for Southern.
Yeah, Bethune-Cookman near the bottom in every defensive category in terms of in the SWAC. They're 11th in total defense. They've been giving up 474 yards a game, man, which is a lot to give up. I talked about rushing. They were 10th in the conference coming into this week in terms of rush defense, giving up 205 yards a game, man. Not only that, let's look at pass defense. Bethune-Cookman, 12th in the conference in terms of pass defense, giving up 268 yards a game. I mean, teams have really been able to have their way. It's just been offensively, they can put up points when they want, which now comes to the big question. Even if this occurs with Bethune-Cookman's defense being that bad, can Southern's offense, which has been equally bad, put up the points to where when Bethune-Cookman make those big plays in the game, can Southern keep up to score three or more touchdowns against a team who can definitely put up three or more touchdowns? And they've done it against some quality opponents like Alabama State and South Carolina State thus far.
I'll say this, Perry, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful or anything, but we've seen bad offenses have success against Bethune-Cookman. If Southern can't move the ball against Bethune-Cookman, Perry, I don't know how many more wins are on the schedule. Like, that would be a sign to me that they, like, Southern has nothing offensively, and they're probably losing a majority of the games, and we're looking at, like, a 3-4 win season maybe if they can't move the ball on Bethune-Cookman. Like, this is the prove-it moment for Southern, in my opinion, where – I think this is a really good matchup for Southern. I understand there's big quarterback issues. I understand that maybe the rushing attack outside of an explosive Trey Holly play here or there hasn't really been working, Perry. But this is a game that Southern should be able to put up 400, 500 yards of total offense. And if they don't, Perry, and they really do struggle, they get held under 300 and they're not able to take advantage, the future for Southern looks very, very dim, and there might need to be a lot of furniture moving and boxes being prepared on the way back from Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah, I could definitely say that, because even with Bethune-Cookman throwing the ball that the way that they do, Southern's defense right now 11th in pass defense currently in the conference, giving up 244 yards a game. In one sense, you would say this is a shootout, because these are the type of games Bethune-Cookman have played this year. Shootout type of games, right when you think they are over, you can bury them and put it away. They have found ways to add two, three, maybe even four more touchdowns on the board to just keep themselves there. But it has been the opposing offenses who have been able to light up the scoreboards on them. So how do you score 30 points and still lose by 15, by two or three more touchdowns? That's going to be the key for Southern today, because we all know that is a long trip to go over to Daytona for Southern and Bethune-Cookman. Southern coming into this game against Bethune-Cookman all time is 7-0 against Bethune-Cookman, looking to make it 8-0 in this matchup. Blue, this is going to be a tough one. Just taking it away, man. Honestly, your thoughts on and how this thing is going to turn out?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I haven't seen a spread theory yet. I mean, just getting up this morning, I haven't had to check the spreads. But the one I saw earlier this week actually have Bethune as like a 13-point favorite in this one.
Jesus.
And I just don't see that I just don't see that happening, Perry. I actually have Southern winning this game, and I have Southern winning this game by 10 to 14 points. Mm.
You should have saw Mike's face when you said that. Mike looked up, and I can't use the word Mike used, but I feel what he means.
Listen, who would have thought, Perry, that you would have invited me on this show and I would have to carry the Southern flag for the show?
Yeah, because I'm telling you right now, I personally, and look, it is what it is to people out there. I've told you the past two matchups in the SWAC with Alabama State and Jackson State, I just did not think Southern had what it took offensively. And we look at those ball games, Southern's defense kept Southern in those games in the first half. It was the second half where Southern just offensively has just not produced. And if that occurs in this game, I just don't know. Southern is not a team to play from behind, especially with the commit to the run game that they want. If you fall behind too soon, just like we did against North Carolina Central, you can run all you want, but you're just going to simply run out of time. And that has been the issue with Southern in these types of games that we saw in the first half. Play a really good game against North Carolina Central. In the first half against Alabama State, played a really good game against Alabama State. In the first half against Jackson State, aside from a penalty and a big play given up at the end of the half and an interception in the end zone that I still can't let go. Other than that, considering the state of the game and what Jackson State's ranking, Southern played a pretty considerable good first half. The problem to every one of those games was the second half, the third and the fourth quarter, where Southern's offense completely disappeared and they began to give up points and allow the other team to separate themselves on the scoreboard. And that's what makes me nervous in this game. I'm picking Bethune-Cookman in this one because Bethune-Cookman offensively has just shown me no matter how terrible they are on defense, we've seen teams score a lot of points on them, but we've also seen them score a lot of points on other teams. And I just don't know if Southern can keep up offensively, especially going back watching that struggle against Valley and being on the road in this type of environment where there's not going to be a lot of hype. Southern's going to have to make sure they don't turn the ball over. We saw that in Itabena against Mississippi Valley. Turning the ball over so many times and keeping Valley in the game. And I keep saying, if Valley had maybe 2.5 more minutes in that game, there's a chance that there's a huge upset up in there to being the way Valley was playing. That's what makes me nervous coming into this game, Blue. Southern not turning the ball over, but then having to keep up. Both offenses are going to have to really put it up there. But Bethune-Cookman has proved it to me against quality opponents that they can score that ball.
See, I kind of use like your same logic here where Southern's played such good defenses half in the first half. I think their offense is going to find success. If they get up before halftime period and they get a 1-2 score lead, in the second half, they're just going to drain the clock. I don't know if Bethune-Cookman's going to have enough possessions to get up there unless because the flip side is if Bethune's generating explosive plays, Perry, Bethune-Cookman's going to win the game. And that's going to cause a ton of problems for Southern. The goal here is get up early and then run the football and shorten this game up and get it over with as quickly as possible. And if Southern dominates the time of possession and establishes the run, I do like their chances here.
Blue, let's get ready to take a break. We come back on this side. Let's look at the big game that's happening in the SWAC today. It's going to be Jackson State versus Alabama State, man. You got a second to hang on with me?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We got to talk about this one.
Yes, sir. All right, everybody. Y'all just hold on tight as we get ready to close this thing out. Let's take this final break. When we come back, we'll talk about the big game. You guys stay tuned. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, we're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. I'm Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us and everybody out there listening on Talk 107.3 FM around the Baton Rouge Capital City area. And everybody watching on our Facebook and YouTube Live, good morning. Glad to have you guys with us. Be sure to subscribe to the Jaguar Journal's YouTube channel. Follow us and keep up with us on X, Instagram, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on Facebook, as well as TikTok. We're all over the place. Continue to grow with us. Got my man Zach McKenna with me this morning, a.k.a. Blue, as we just broke down the Southern versus Bethune-Cookman game. Blue's going Southern. I'm going Bethune-Cookman. I'm in a tough spot, Blue.
Yeah, I don't know if me picking Southern is a good thing or bad thing. We'll see.
Well, let's move on to the big game today, and some are calling it the game of the year, but I am definitely excited, and when I leave here today, I'm headed up to Jackson, Mississippi to catch this game today. It is Jackson State's homecoming. It's going to be Jackson State versus Alabama State. Perhaps the two best quarterbacks in this conference, Jacobian Morgan, who's the preseason SWAC Offensive Player of the Year, coming from Jackson State. And then Andrew Boddy, the dynamic dual-threat quarterback who had transferred from Texas Southern, had an opportunity to play in one game last year in the Orange Blossom Classic against North Carolina Central. And he got injured, and there was no more Andrew Boddy for the rest of the year. But then we had an opportunity to see him against the University of Alabama, Birmingham, UAB this year in game number one. And what an impressive showing that caught my attention. And I think everybody's attention of the type of quarterback that he is and that he's capable of being at Alabama State. And now here we are today with a matchup of two teams, 4-1 coming into this ball game, and undefeated in conference play, both teams coming in at 2-0. I'm looking forward to this one. And when you look forward to Jackson State, I say right now, they're my number one team in black college football, but they play all three phases of the game, offense, defense, and special teams, better than anybody in black college football, in my opinion, Blue.
Yeah, listen, I'm so excited for this game. And like you said, I think the quarterback battle is going to be perfect, man. And like we did an article today or earlier this week on the site about the two quarterbacks and how both, like, this is really important for not just the conference race series, but you have FCS playoff implications for Jackson State, because if they lose this one, a 10-2 Jackson State is getting into the playoff series. Just going to let you know that. And then on top of that, too, both these guys are potential NFL prospects with Andrew Boddy, Jacoby, and Morgan. Now, Boddy's got one more year, but you look at how much Boddy has elevated this offense, Perry, with his legs. The rushing attack is rolling, and I think a lot of success in the rushing attack can be attributed to Andrew Boddy, because the defenses are so locked in on him that it's allowing other guys to make plays. I think this is the best receiving core he's had around himself. And then on the flip side, Perry, Jacoby and Morgan didn't have a good start to the season, but he has been electric these past 2 weeks. And if we get the Jacoby and Morgan we've seen in the past 2 weeks, Jackson is going to be a very, very hard team to beat, because we know they can run the football. They have a good defense. Perry, there are just so many storylines to really break down in this game. But that quarterback battle highlights and headlines everything here.
Got about 4 to 5 minutes before we got to get ready to cut this thing off. But let's look at defensively. This is not the Bama State defense we've seen in the past few years, but they definitely have the offense they've been looking for the past few years. But defensively, Jackson State is a little bit more sound than what we've seen Alabama State in the past coming into this one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's been a bad period. I just don't think it's been as dominant as we're used to seeing. I actually think the pass defense has been better than people have maybe given it credit for. I think it's a little bit skewed, because outside of UAB and outside of that Bethune game, they've held all three of their other opponents to under 175 passing yards, including FAMU and Southern. I know they both have quarterback issues, but this defense has delivered there. And really and truly, outside that Bethune and UAB game, they've done pretty well against the run. I would say I don't think they're elite, though. They're just kind of middle of the pack there. I think where this defense could really take a step forward, Perry, is forcing turnovers. If they can find a way to win the turnover battle here, force Jacoby into some mistakes, get some extra possessions, that's going to be the key here. The matchup I really worry about, Perry, since we're on this Alabama State defense, is how do they match up to Jackson's rushing attack? Because I really do think that's going to be Jackson's strategy here. I know Jacoby has played well, Perry, but I think Jackson's going to try to run this ball. They're averaging almost 270 yards per game, 6.2 yards per carry, 15 touchdowns on the ground. Ahmad Miller, Travis Terrell, Denario Davenport, Amari Matthews, they just have so much talent. I think they're going to try to run this ball down Alabama State's throat. Alabama State is going to have to take the run game away if they're going to win this one.
Who you got in this ball game?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jackson. Perry, this has been my statement of this game all week. Andrew Boddy's the best player in this game, and I think he's special. He's going to have a good game. I just think Jackson is the better team, the more complete team. I like Jackson by like 3-7, somewhere in that 1-4 range.
This is the type of matchups you look for, especially big game. The vet ought to be rocking today. It is home coming up at Jackson State. I'm rolling with Alabama State in this one. I'm an Andrew Boddy fan. I have no problems with putting it out there, and I've been a fan of Andrew Boddy. But to see him finally be in a position with a team and got himself there, I think now it's more than ever. Andrew Boddy, you got to get it done today. This is the big game you've been waiting for since you've been in the SWAC, and now you have it. And there's no turning back right here, so I'm going to go Alabama State. Blue, before you get ready to get out of here, man, let everybody know how they can keep up with you and follow up with you, all the great things that you're doing.
Yeah, man, FCS Football Central on SI.com/college/FCS, the Blue Bloods on YouTube, all podcasts, streaming platforms, man. Perry, appreciate it again, my man, and have fun down there in Jackson, man, at homecoming today.
I'm going to try, man. I'm going to have to duck and dodge, man, but I'm going to try to have some fun, man. Appreciate you, Blue. All right, everybody, we are now at the end. Mike is giving me all the sign language. That means I got to get out of here. I hope you guys have enjoyed today's show. Homecoming parade tomorrow, so we're going to kick off homecoming at Southern University. tomorrow for the homecoming parade. So you guys be locked and loaded and ready to go as we get ready to celebrate homecoming next week. And I want to thank you guys, as always, for tuning in and keeping up with the Jaguar Journal. Before I get out of here, I got to let you know, subscribe to the Jaguar Journal YouTube channel. Be sure to keep up with us on Facebook, on X, on Instagram, on TikTok, Apple Podcasts, as well as Spotify as we continue to grow. And as always, I'm headed up to Jackson, Mississippi this weekend. But always, look, we'll be back next week at the same time, because always, it's the Jaguar Journal. Happy homecoming. I'll see you guys next week, all right?